This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
Hello, you guys. Welcome back to Everyone Talks to Liz special edition. Here's what we've done. We have busted out the double doors of the Fox Business Studios in Midtown Manhattan. We're in Las Vegas, Nevada, the city I like to call double D's, dreams and divorces. A lot of people, though, see opportunity in Vegas kind of like tinsel, temporarily very glittery and eye-catching, but you know what? When it ends up in the gutter after Christmas, not so pretty. But do they see Vegas as the kind of place where a high school dropout who by night repossessed cars and by day helped his dad run a 24-hour business in a strip mall can become a multimillionaire international TV star? Well, look who we have here. Someone who's done that. Rick Harrison started working at his dad's gold and silver pawn shop at age 13 after ditching high school in 10th grade to sell fake Gucci bags. Rick, fake Gucci? He decided to head right back to the family business and partner with his dad. Their no-nonsense style with a healthy dose of monkey business and humor caught the eye of producers who launched the show Pawn Stars with Rick and his dad, old Rick, as the stars. In 2011, Pawn Stars became the History Channel's highest rated series ever. Today, the show is in its, what, 22nd season?
I start season 21 next
21.
Month. I think it's 21, something like that.
Okay, you've forgotten. Okay, because you're such a big star. The man himself, Rick Harrison, is here to talk about the years-long climb to gold star status. Welcome to Everyone Talks to Liz.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's great to have you. And people see you on TV. They know you from Pawn Stars, but they don't know your background. Oh my gosh, I could not believe it. And we've got actually an audience here. This is our first big Everyone Talks to Liz audience. You guys do not know this. You were in eighth grade and you had to go to rehab, but for a very interesting health reason. Tell us.
Oh, okay, well, no, I mean, I had epilepsy when I was a kid. I had bad epilepsy. I mean, to the point where, I'd have seizures so bad that I couldn't walk. I'd tear all the muscles in my back and my legs. I read a lot. We were Poe.
You were so Poe, you weren't even poor. You lost the O and the R at the end.
You know, I mean, my dad's in the Navy. He's in Vietnam. My mom's trying to sell real estate on the side. She's got a library, get me books and stuff like that. It got to the point where, you know, it was just, you know, terrible government health care, I was getting. I thought I was going to die. I was told I was most likely going to. So I did a lot of drugs. Why not party like a rock star until, I stopped doing that and everything. I didn't know. I mean, there was no information. Back then, the only information I had was the library and the Wagnalls encyclopedia set we had at home, where my mom bought a copy every week, and then she, that would show up in the grocery store. She missed a few weeks, so there's a few letters missing.
You're missing the D and the O.
Yeah, I mean, like, there's one little paragraph about epilepsy. I had no idea about any of it. All I know is that, I had to go to military doctors. So it was basically government health care. Gave me the cheapest drugs possible. Gave me a lot of. I have all kinds of orthopedic problems because of it.
As an eighth grader.
And eventually, 16 years old, family moved. Mom and dad were in real estate after my dad retired from the Navy. We were talking 1981, 21% interest rate. No one in real estate is going to make any money. We moved to Vegas. My dad opened a little coin shop, and I just started hustling. That's when I found out a way to get fake Gucci bags. It was the first one. We're talking 1981. So I'm selling fake Gucci bags at the swap meet, making like $2,000 a weekend.
Nice.
And then 2 months later, some people showed up with fake Gucci bags. They're selling them less than I was selling them for. I thought I was buying them for. So that whole thing collapsed. But always been an entrepreneur. Always worked for myself. I was literally kicked out of school when I was 16 years old because I had epilepsy. I was told I was never going to graduate. I was too sick all the time. I was never going to get. Basically, they were saying you have too many absences. You'll just fail. But I figured, you know, that just sort of pissed me off. And I said, I'll show them. And I did.
Yes, but it was years. See, this what we love to talk about on this podcast is the climb. People look at you and say, oh, he's got a hit show. He's traveling the world. He's so wealthy. He's got merch. This is decades in the making. In fact, after the Gucci purse, you know, foray, you were in repo.
Well, no, I used to repo cars at night after work.
Okay, explain to people what that is.
Well, I mean, you get a hold of like the small car dealerships in town, and they sell on payments. And if you don't make the payments, they send a guy like me. So you show up, you got to steal the car at 1 o'clock in the morning. And I've been shot at before.
Stealing what kind of car?
Well, I'm just repo.
Payments.
Yeah, yeah. Everything from Toyotas to trucks, a little bit of everything, and you just have to. It paid good money.
How'd you learn to hotwire cars?
I've always been a motorhead my whole life. Yeah. Any old car, I'm telling you, it's not that safe. I'm to this day, I'm a motorhead. I still, I'm a spastic guy. On the weekends, I still work on my cars.
Okay, so you love that. You love old things. So you go back to work with Dad. At this point, who came up with the idea to try and pitch this as a TV show?
Okay, so for lack of a better term, I was always a media whore.
Okay. We'll take it.
You know, I would, right before the Super Bowl, I'd take some of my Super Bowl rigs. I'd put them on eBay, really high reserve. I wasn't really going to sell them, but guaranteed I'd have newspapers calling up, you know, the local news TV stations. I'd have TV stations from LA coming up, like, what's this pawn shop with him? And then they'd see, like, Picasso's on the wall and everything like that. Because the day, I mean, right after we opened this pawn shop, you know, most people don't realize this. There's chains of pawn shops owned, you know, by corporations with 2,000 shops and things like big giant chains. I mean, and I realized I couldn't compete against Walmart. I had to be Tiffany's.
Oh, this is Tiffany's. This is Tiffany's, especially with I see the dinosaur skulls. And the World War I knives. I mean, this is fascinating stuff. Okay.
Yeah, no, so for like day one, I mean, I didn't want my pawn shop looking like some grimy, you know, some of these pawn shops, they just run the place terribly. It's all dirty and everything. You know, I want the bat. You know, I literally used to tell my employees, if the Queen of England walks in here, she's going to be proud to use our bathroom.
Well, so from the toilet to everything else in here, people bring in not stuff they're going to flush or throw away. Oh, yeah. They bring in what they have to sell.
And I also realized, that, you know, through 6 degrees of separation, if you rip somebody off, you know, they're going to tell everybody they know and everyone's going to know. If you are honest with every customer, okay, and maybe it's only 3 degrees of separation of them telling everybody, you know, this guy's honest. You'll grow your business. And I grew it, and that's how I grew the business. Everyone, you know, I was always trying to be, I mean, I explained to people, this is what I'm buying for, this is what I plan on selling it for. You know what I mean? Sometimes I'll tell people, like, you know, this is what I'm paying you for. I don't know what I'm going to get out of it.
But how can you be a jack of all trades and be an expert in everything from, a pre-Mennonite, I don't even know what I'm talking about, but BC coins to, well, this bracelet on your wrist. Tell me about that.
Well, first off, like one of my dad's things my dad always told me, never be the smartest guy in the room. Always trying to learn.
Okay.
Okay.
Good.
If someone brings something in, I don't know about it. I'm not going to pretend I know about it. I'm going to, you know, I've over the years, I have a massive network of, like, people I deal with.
Okay.
You know, I mean, for the TV show, we'd, like, you know, email each other pictures and things like that. Now we put them on the actually on the show. But, like, no, it was people I ask. You know, I learn. I really am that nerd. You're talking to the guy who read the history of batteries twice.
Twice.
Yeah, it was fascinating. I mean, just I've always been, I mean, I shouldn't say this because I'm on television, but I never watch television at night. You know, television's sort of like hot dogs. You really like it till you see how it's made.
Yeah. Yes, we all know.
No, I am that nerd. I read physics books for fun.
Well, I referenced the bracelet. Our listeners should know it looks like a very, very classy link bracelet.
It's 1,200 years old. It's from and it's a Viking bracelet made from I got all the paperwork and all the X-ray stuff on it. The metal's identical to the gold coins, English coins from the 8th century.
That is fascinating.
Yeah.
Who brought it in? Cool. I mean, where'd you get it?
I actually bought this off one of the people from the Viking department at the Met who's collecting this stuff too and, you know, need a little cash.
This is Everyone Talks to Liz, and we'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
So you're a pawn shop guy, and you're at the Met, and you're looking at certain things. Like, you are a true expert, but I want to get to the emotions of pawning possessions. For people who don't know, people come in, they need some money, so they leave something maybe that they care about as collateral. For how long a term?
My shop's 90 days, you know, and, you know, it's... In the United States, the average pawn is like $100.
Okay.
And depending on the state or where you're at, everyone charges a little bit different. But say it's $100, so charge, you know, $10 or $15 for the month thing. You know, people feel it's a lot of interest. But then again, it's not like a credit card where there's not one human piece of human activity.
Yeah.
With me, there's a lot of paperwork. There's actually a lot of time with an employee because every single thing that we loan money on or buy off somebody, we actually turn in the paperwork to the local police department and the FBI.
Okay.
You know, every once in a while, someone is stupid enough to come in here and get their thumbprint and take a picture of them and everything else like that, and it's stolen, and I lose that money. It's the simplest form of banking. You know, I loan you money and you don't pay me back, I don't go after you. I just keep your merchandise. That was the agreement we had.
What is the most fascinating pawn story in this shop that over the years, since 1989, since it's been open, that you really always remember?
A guy came in with 7 human skulls in a duffel bag.
Oh my God.
And I was like, and no, he, so there was like a dental school in the Midwest, okay?
Oh God.
And they were selling off a ton of stuff. So he bought like boxes and boxes of stuff. And I guess they used to use these in the classrooms and everything like that. And I just looked at him and went like I just told you, like, when I buy something off somebody, I got to turn paperwork into the FBI and Metro here. You know this storm this is going to create.
Yeah, a bunch of skulls.
No, but like, yeah, he had 7 human skulls, which was like, okay, that was the weirdest thing that's ever walked in the door.
Tell me about the most exciting thing somebody has brought in.
I get excited a lot about a lot of stuff.
Okay.
You know, I just love really cool history, weird stuff. I have a very bad car addiction. As a matter of fact, I bit the bullet. I've actually taken some to Barrett Jackson here in 2 weeks. I get excited about cars. I get excited about just really cool history stuff. It's got a great story. I collect books. Mm-hmm. I collect books that were banned by the Catholic Church.
Nice.
I have a lot of books that, you know, I have one book on the on immortality written in like 1600. The author's dead. I just bought the really weird books. I have books on how to turn base metals into gold, which a possession of those books, you know, back in the day in Europe was a capital offense.
Oh, sort of like writing books on why you shouldn't pay your taxes.
Yeah. Right? Well, the reason why it was a capital offense, they did not understand physics. They didn't understand chemistry. And the governments of Europe were afraid that if you ever did figure out how to make gold, it would make the gold in the treasury worthless.
Of course.
Yeah.
That's the free market working, isn't it, though? And maybe somebody comes up with that idea.
Yeah.
Of the emotion of pawn shops and seeing what people bring in, I see a lot of wedding rings, and they are gorgeous.
Yeah.
I'm talking engagement rings with beautiful diamonds in them.
Yeah.
Oh, that's got to be tough for people to walk in off the street and say...
Yeah, well, actually, a lot of people are there, you know, when they're actually glad to get rid of it.
They say, glad to get rid of him. I mean, it.
But here's the weird thing. You can go in the most high-end jewelry stores in Manhattan, and those diamonds are most likely from a pawn shop.
Wait, what?
Federal Trade Commission rules. There's no such thing as a used diamond.
That's true. Because they're millions and millions of years old.
Most stuff I retail here, but before I was like a monster. I mean, I would literally take my diamonds to New York, sell them to diamond dealers. Those diamond dealers would sell them to the giant jewelry stores and everything like that. So if you go into the highest of high-end jewelry stores, it's a very good chance that you are getting a diamond from a pawn shop.
Fascinating. Now, how does the lab-grown diamond phenomenon play into this? Because lab-grown diamonds come from a slice of a real diamond that's then subjected to crazy pressure. So chemically, they are exactly the same.
So there's two different kinds. There's the ones with pressure, and then there's the disposition ones. But they are chemically the same, but their growth patterns are not.
Oh.
Okay, so I got little machines over there. They just tell me within a few seconds that, hey, this is a lab-grown diamond.
And is that worth less?
It's worth basically nothing.
Oh, really?
There's no resale value on them. Wholesale, they're a couple hundred, the big ones are only a couple hundred bucks a carat. I know a lot of large jewelry store, a lot of jewelry stores now, they literally, when you buy a nice diamond ring off you, they will give you a lab-grown ring for your vacation ring.
Yeah, just so that you can just wear it lifted.
People buy rarity, they buy a story, a diamond that's been in the ground and everywhere has got that magical thing to it. A lab-grown diamond, no one wants.
So today, you are a huge star. You've been traveling the world. Tell me about your life and your business and where you plan to take it from here. You make a lot of money on merchandise, too.
I do really good with merchandise. Do a lot of commercials in Latin America. Just having a good time. You know what I mean? I try and take a couple months. Since COVID ended, everybody's wanted content. It's been insane. I haven't taken no time off. I had 160 nights in hotels last year.
Wow.
But more or less told everybody, I'm not going to do that this year. So we're filming this season here. But no, I got six kids. I got grandbabies.
Anybody want to go in the business with Dad?
No. Yeah, I told him why, because one of these days I'm just going to sell everything and just be a curmudgeon at my ranch.
I like that thought.
Yeah.
Let's end with this. What advice do you have for people who are listening right now who maybe have a health problem like you did, but have a dream or really feel that the world hasn't understood their different kind of intellect like yours? I mean, I've really learned from this conversation, you are one type of brain that is very unusual. You are a sponge for information. You love learning about different things and becoming an expert.
I mean, like I told you earlier, I was talking at LSU last year with their graduating business class, and one guy's, my dream is to do this. I'm like, whoa. Your dreams, make that your hobby. Find a real job that you can make money at that you like. You're never going to have the dream job, okay? You're always going to have but find something you like doing. Do that dream thing, do as a hobby or something like that. But you also got to realize if you're going to be successful in business, you really, really have to take risks, okay? That's the hard part. Okay, and I can tell you, I got a million stories. Here's a quick little story if we got time.
Yeah.
Okay, so 20 years ago, when I was married to my ex-wife, we had a 3-month-old baby. She calls me up and goes, like, will you go? And we had terrible internet service at the house. She goes, can you go online and order me some Poti baby bottles? What are you talking about? She goes, like, there's these baby bottles for infants. I just saw them on Oprah. Can you go, can you go online and order some? And I go, like, was it a rerun? And she goes, no. Okay, no, because they were talking about this and this. I go, okay, cool. So like 5 minutes later, I'm on the phone with these guys. And we're like, I know it's weird that a pawn shop wants 5,000 baby bottles. But where do I wire the money? Because I already had a whole internet department. I just saw the opportunity and I took it. And I made an extra 15 grand that month. So,
oh my goodness.
You know, I mean, because I've done a million crazy things like that. Some of them make money out of them. Some I don't make money, but in the end, I make more money than I lost. And you have to be willing to risk it because you've had friends. You might even done it yourself. Like, you see something on television. Like, I thought about that years ago, but you didn't do anything about it.
Yeah, move, act, do
you know,
it.
You got it. You know, like Henry Ford went broke before he had Ford. You know, I mean, you have to be able to willing to risk and things like that. That's if you really want to, or otherwise you can be happy with a normal job. But like, you know, I don't understand miserable people. I know people with 10 times as much money as me and they're miserable. I don't get it. I don't get it at all. It's so easy to be happy in life. Life is really short. I mean, literally like 3 weeks ago, I was 25 years old.
Yeah. Time slips through our fingers like mercury.
Yeah, but like, you know, but if it takes risk, okay? You see an opportunity, seize it. I mean, what's the worst happen? You can lose money and then just start over and do it again? That's, I've done it plenty of times.
Hey, there's no such thing as failure. In fact, it is said that success is sometimes standing at the very top of a mountain of failures.
Yeah, I mean, I've had a lot of failed businesses, but like the ones that worked, I've had some other ones that worked out.
Oh, just a few.
Yeah.
Rick, it is such a pleasure to hear your story. Thank you so much for letting us into your Vegas pawn shop. I've never been in one, and here I am in the top one. This is so cool. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's great. What did you guys think? We've got an audience here. Woo! Oh, they love him. You guys, thank you so much for tuning in. I know that many of you who haven't seen the show, doesn't matter. His story is even better than any television show, and I'm glad he told it right here on Everyone Talks to Liz. As always, 3 p.m. Eastern, Monday through Friday, the Clayman Countdown. And we're never pawning anything except great information for money and how to grow it and how to preserve it and how to earn it. So stay tuned. Hope you watch. Thanks so much.
Want to listen ad-free? You can do it with a Fox News Podcasts Plus subscription on Apple Podcasts. And then Amazon Prime members, you can listen to this show ad-free on the Amazon Music app.
The Will Cain Show is now dropping 5 episodes a week. Join Fox and Friends weekend host Will Cain as he tackles the latest headlines from his unique perspective, along with thought-provoking interviews with leading figures and live calls from viewers and listeners. Listen wherever you download your favorite podcasts.